this team and the collection of 90 have made our jobs very difficult. So you watch the tape with the coaches, I'll get together with the coordinators and with Chris, and we'll start chopping away at some of these difficult decisions. That involves both game tape and practice tape, a lot of tape of their resume, essentially, and then fitting that puzzle piece together, which is your 53 plus 16. Another day closer to death.
You've been chopped.
Hey, Jimmy, can you explain to the listeners that you just what you explained off the air? Because no one understood that. What is this song for?
The people that got cut.
Like, this terrible. I mean, Solana put together this montage, which was really good, but then it became heartless at the end. It was completely heartless. We're a day closer to death, and then you've been chopped. And then Jimmy comes in with, "Hello, darkness, my old friend." And Jimmy says to us off the air, "This song is for the players who got caught." And we're like, "Oh, got you." I thought it was Simon and Garfunkel's birthday.
Appreciate you, Jimmy.
Why is it? I mean, obviously, people lose their jobs. It's sad, but also, couldn't this just be a happy moment where people actually make the team? You're looking at it the wrong way. That people are, you know, like, there are people right now finding out that their dream is reality. That they're out. Someone texted in, and by the way, this is your 4 o'clock hour, and the cuts are coming in, and they're official at 4. Miami football reports on WQAM are sponsored by Miami-Dade County Public Schools Technical Colleges. MDCPS Technical Colleges offer over 60 affordable accredited programs day or evening. Hands-on training aligned with local employers. Call 305-558-8000 or visit careerinayear.com and launch your future today. We're going to get all the cuts from Solana. Someone texted in, though, Crowder, and I thought this was interesting. Is there a situation, is this a situation where no news is good news, like talking about Aronde or you or OG the second, or do they let players know via phone or at the facility if they've made the team? Like, might your position coach pull you aside and say, "Hey, you got nothing to worry about. You made the team."
I was never there's the fringe players. So I told you.
Right, that's who I'm talking about. Yeah. I'm not you necessarily. Like a fringe player who's sweating it out, might a position coach or a head coach pull him aside and say, "Don't worry, you've got it."
No, they don't. Like, because there was a guy I played with at Florida, Travis Harris, and I think two years after I got to the Dolphins brought him in as an unrestricted free agent. And I told the story where, like, the fourth preseason game, he hasn't got a snap in preseason, hasn't touched the field. And he was like, "Hey, Chan, you know, talk to Coach Edwards." I'm like, "Bro, it's over for you. It's curtains. Like, you might as well, like, call your mom and tell her get your bedroom ready. You haven't played a snap in the preseason, and I don't know if he wanted to hear it." So those guys know they're gone. So to your point, right, Hawk, there's 90 guys. 53 are going to make it. That means 37 are going to get cut. 10 of those 37 don't know either way what's going to happen. So those guys are sweating it out. My entire career, because I walked in starting next to Zach. So as soon as I got to the Dolphins, I was the starting wheel linebacker. You're not cutting the starters. So my whole career, I was a starter. So I'm like, "Oh, they're not cutting me." But there were guys that you knew were going to get cut. I told Ed Miles, if I really think about it, I could tell guys, I was like, "Bro, there's no way you make the team. You can't play in the NFL." We've talked about how heartless I kind of am with this whole thing. And I would tell those dudes, like, "Bro, this is not made for you. You need to, do you have a degree? If not, you need to go back to school because NFL is not for you."
All right, well, let's do, what do you know, Solana? What information has come in?
So nothing, just so you know, nothing official has come in. I imagine we'll get some sort of press release from the Miami Dolphins over the next couple moments or so, or minutes, or over the next hour. Nothing official has come in yet, but there were guys at practice today and several faces not at practice today. I'll run you through the names we know have been cut by the Miami Dolphins, according to several reports. I'll start from the very top. A couple names you've already heard. Eric Ezukama has been released by the Miami Dolphins, former fourth-round pick by the team. Theo Weiss Jr., linebackers or edge rushers who have been released. Derek McClendon, who was a standout during the preseason. A lot of people thought he was going to be a lock for this roster. Quinton Bell has been cut today as well. Grayson Murphy has been cut today. Matt Dickerson, Patrick McMorris, rookie safety John Saunders Jr., and then two undrafted rookies in the cornerback units, BJ Adams, Ethan Robinson. They were all waived today by the Miami Dolphins. That is a list that adds to yesterday's list. Mike Hilton was probably the most notable name, the Dolphins' most experienced cornerback. They seem to have kind of shored that up a little bit today with the Rasul Douglas signing, Farrell Brown, Aaron Shamklin, the running back Mike Boone as well, offensive lineman Ben Stille, and then you had Mason Brooks, Jackson Carman, Jalen McKenzie, and cornerback Cameron Dantzler. All of those players cut by the Miami Dolphins.
All right. Nothing hugely shocking, no. I would say, even across the entire NFL. I've been looking at Adam Schefter's tweets and Ian Rappaport. Nothing seems to be hugely shocking at the moment.
Never heard of any of those names you just said.
Yeah.
A couple guys I think that are, you know, other than the guys we talked about yesterday, but like Derek McClendon. I mean, so
Chris Greer talks to the media tomorrow, right? Tomorrow. He's having his press conference tomorrow.
Yeah. Tomorrow, yeah.
He rocks the suit and the cap like no other.
In Detroit, he had on a hoodie. He was like walking around with a hoodie really? On, like trying to hide. Yeah, it was cool.
He didn't do a very good job, did he? You recognize him.
Well, you know, that's my boy. I'm friends with Chris Greer. I can criticize him, but we're friends. He's a good human being.
I should I should note that Cam Smith was not at practice today, and we don't know if he got cut or if he didn't. And then Kendall Sheffield wasn't at practice, but he's hurt. Kind of expect him to be on the roster.
Tell you what Barry Jackson had tweeted out. He said, Dolphins cornerbacks are the moment. Rasul Douglas, Storm Duck, Jason Marshall, Jack Jones. Awaiting clarity on Isaiah Johnson, Kendall Sheffield, Cam Smith. He writes, missing today in parentheses, and Ethan Bonner. We have clarity at every other position.
Cam Smith made as many plays today as he did in camp.
Doesn't mean he's going anywhere.
No, he's second round pick. People can't play in the NFL. If everybody could, that would be amazing. Like this isn't sad for me. This isn't a sad day. To your question, Hawk, I'm excited for the 53. I'm not sad for the 37. You're not playing in this league. It's hard.
I saw a report from Diana Russini earlier today that the Commanders have been gauging multiple teams' interest in Noah Igbinoghene, according to her sources.
Guy's a baller.
Dolphins need some cornerback health. I mean, who knows? Maybe a Noah Igbinoghene return to the Dolphins.
1 year, 7 bags of M&Ms.
That's pretty much it until we get like the official 53 from the Dolphins. And then they're going to start signing guys to their practice squad as well over the course of the next 24 hours.
All right. Well, there's your cut down day. Odyssey Sports coverage brought to you nationally by Geico. Switch and save. Get more with Geico. Let's do a quick look at the headlines with Solana because Danny Cannell is going to join us this hour. And I do want to talk some Hurricanes and Notre Dame. We've been focused on the NFL today, and I want to talk some Canes football. So headlines brought to you by Doral Hyundai, the number one Hyundai store in the nation, just went full beast mode. Doral Hyundai, where the deals are monstrous and the prices don't survive. No one sells for less. No one.
This is breaking news. It doesn't have to do with South Florida, but for me in Rappaport, for those of you who are drafting fantasy teams like I did yesterday, DeMarcus Robinson San Francisco 49ers wide receiver. He's been suspended 3 games without pay for violating the NFL's substances of abuse policy. He won't be eligible to return until after
what did he violate? The substances of abuse?
I'm just reading from Ian Rappaport, Jack. The NFL substances of abuse policy.
I'm going to say that he had a typo and you are Anchorman.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
The substances of abuse policy.
I'm reading word for word. What do they call that? Verbatim? NFL substances of abuse policy.
There's no S.
Right.
No.
But that's not the policy. Yeah.
Well, blame it on Ian.
Well, no, I'm going to blame it on the guy who read it on my show.
Who's Brock Purdy throwing the ball to, Crowder?
Brandon Ayuk.
Oh, yeah. He's not healthy. Like, I don't know who the hell they're throwing the ball
to. Oh, Kittle. Kittle's going to have 470 targets.
Yeah, and the fullback, Juszczyk. Those are his two targets. Just throw to the big white guys.
White receivers. Boy, that offense isn't dynamic, as they say.
Oh, Kendall Lamb, cut by the Eagles. Bring him back. Bring him home. Lamb gang, baby. Bring him home.
You've been chopped.
Seems a little heartless.
I love it. Look, we go through this every year where you feel bad for people that can't be one of the top 1,000 football players in the world.
Yeah.
I don't feel bad for him at all.
Well, you don't have to. I don't care if you don't.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man. Oh, what's going on? He's going to go be a resource officer at his high school.
I think that's a bummer for someone who's probably played football since Pop Warner, and they've worked hard and they've tried their best, and doesn't mean that people aren't good enough because they're not.
They're not good enough. Right.
That's not what I'm debating. Yes. I'm not telling you they're good enough. I'm saying they've worked hard all their life. They dreamt of something, weren't able to accomplish it. I can feel bad for them.
No, don't feel bad for them.
Why?
It's a waste of time. They're grown men.
I mean, how did I just waste my time?
You wasted your time. You have emotion.
I'm not feeling bad about them.
No, I don't. I don't care.
No, you wasted your time, though, not caring.
No, I don't care.
You did the same amount of your time that I did with my time.
The hell with him. The hell with Johnson.
Right. You just wasted your time saying that.
Don't feel bad for these grown men that aren't good enough.
Sure you can.
No.
Just a weird take. Like, these guys have literally poured their entire lives into making this their livelihood. They came up a little bit short.
And they're not good enough to play at this
level. That's not up for debate. That's
the high school kids that can't get scholarships aren't good enough to play in college.
Right. No one's debating that.
On a camp, they're not good enough. And these kids, guys that can't make it aren't good enough.
You're saying stuff that's factual. No one's debating the fact.
That's facts. I don't care. Right. You go get a job.
Right. You're not saying anything that aren't facts. That's what I'm saying. Like, you can feel that way. That's fine. But it's, like, silly to go, you shouldn't feel bad. Like,
no.
Why wouldn't you? I feel bad if someone wanted to be a teacher all their life and they worked for it their entire life. They couldn't pass the teaching exam. I feel sad for someone who wanted to be a doctor all their life, a lawyer all their life, couldn't pass the bar exam. That's sad. They worked at something. Doesn't mean that they were good enough and got turned away. They weren't good enough. That's factual. But I can still feel bad for them for not accomplishing something they set out to accomplish.
You failed.
Yeah, but again, you're saying something that's factual. I know that.
You get F on the test. That's you failed. Okay.
Well, right. You keep saying facts. No one's debating that.
Did they work hard enough? Did they work hard enough to make it?
No, but maybe they didn't have the physical skills that was required. Like, you can work hard all you want.
No,
you're
they
not
need to
always
work harder.
Be one of the. You can't just work your
Hawk. No,
if you work hard. So anyone who works hard enough can be an NFL player.
No, at 12 years old, I rode my bicycle to school 13 miles there and back.
So you're saying whoever got cut today
didn't ride their bicycle at 12 years old 13 miles every day.
I mean, that's silly. That's silly.
That's exactly what happened. I outworked everybody in my draft class. I outworked everybody to become an All-American.
Okay, because Mike McDaniel, as hard as he worked, was never going to be an NFL player. He didn't have the size.
Well, he should have looked into something else.
Well, I mean, okay, easy for you to say.
He couldn't even play at Yale.
He didn't have the size.
He couldn't play at Yale.
All right, I'm not having this. I know.
I tell you every year, stop feeling bad for grown men that aren't good enough to make it in the NFL.
I feel bad for anyone who wanted something, worked hard to get it, and fell short. Like, that's a...
What about the guy that wants to work at Walgreens and fails the pee test?
Yeah. I mean, if it's something you've worked at your entire life, mm-hmm. it's not... Hey, I knocked on the door to look for my next job and I didn't get it. I'm talking about working at something for your entire life, getting to the doorstep and not being able to cross that threshold. You can feel bad for, if you don't want to feel bad for that person, that's fine. But you're arguing facts. Well, they weren't good enough. Yeah, agreed. I know that. But you can feel bad for someone who worked hard and couldn't make that final step. And I know you're just playing a little game here. Like, I know
no,
that.
I'm saying
when
that
I know
it's a very elite class that people can't get into.
No one's
been a part of the crew
and
that
no one's arguing.
I don't feel bad. And I've been around guys. As soon as I see you, I'm like, you're not made for this.
Again, you're speaking facts that no one's arguing. You keep saying facts that's inarguable.
Yeah. And I don't feel bad. You failed. Okay. Have a good one, buddy.
Okay.
Go back home.
Yeah, that's fine.
Work for daddy.
That's fine.
I'd like to interrupt with some good news, some fantastic news, some extraordinary news that all of us can agree will make everybody happy listening to the show. Go ahead, look at your phones, gentlemen. We just got a text message from Aronde Gadsden.
Oh. Hey.
I told y'all.
I didn't get anything.
Should have worked
Look
harder,
at
Jimmy.
That. He texted his son, "Are you going to practice tomorrow? We good? Made it?" And OG the second said, "Yeah." Jimmy doesn't know what to do. He can't play the "you got chopped" sound. He can't play "Hello, Darkness, my old friend." He only had sad stuff ready.
That's awesome, man.
That's cool.
That is awesome.
And Crowder was right the entire time. I didn't want to say it because normally I jinx stuff, but Crowder was 100% right. There wasn't a single person out in Los Angeles.
Totally agree.
Who was even questioning whether or not Aronde Gadsden was going to make the team. But you just shouldn't say it, Crowder. Hawk's right.
Totally
you shouldn't say it. You shouldn't say it.
You just said he was right, and now you just said Hawk was right.
Yeah, but I think you're right. You don't test the football gods. But what he was saying wasn't
wrong. Don't do that. All right, come on. I want to have enough time with Danny Cannell. There you go, Jimmy. Aronde the second. We're going to Brazil, baby.
All right, the Marlins play the Bravos tonight, and Inter-Miami plays mañana. Those are your local headlines. Leagues Cup final, by the way. And obviously, Miami-Notre Dame
is playing right
on
now.
Sunday. Are they?
Yeah.
What's the score?
They were down 1-0 last I looked.
Ooh, it is 2-0.
2-0 to Brentford. But this isn't for this is not for the Premier League. This is for the EFL Cup.
Yeah. Oh, all right. Well, now I don't feel so bad.
Well, they'll be eliminated from the cup with a loss.
Ah, cup shmup.
I feel bad for them.
You should.
Cup shmup.
Your weather, it's 92 degrees. Yeah, nobody's heard of the most prestigious cup in probably the history of football. You're right, Hawk. Yeah.
What is it? The new tournament?
Yeah, it's a new tournament.
What is it?
What's it called?
The EFL Cup. It's not the most prestigious. The FA Cup is the most prestigious, but this one's pretty big too.
Nah, no one's heard.
What happened?
Your weather, 92 degrees. Tonight, the lows, though, they'll drop into the mid-70s. How about that? A little cold front at night. 76 degrees is your low.
That's when is the fog up?
Fog up?
The what?
I don't know. Did you say the FA Cup? Fog up?
I'm not taking that bait, bro.
Jimmy, did you dump that? That's funny.
No, I didn't.
I'm not taking that bait.
But I was listening very carefully.
All right. Okay. The FA Cup. Didn't you say FA Cup?
Yes, FA Cup. Yes.
Yeah, FA.
No, not FA. No? The FA. Football Association Cup.
Acronym.
Gotcha.
It's an acronym.
Just and what's FA this new Cup. One that started today?
Didn't when did this today. Get going?
They've been playing this for quite some time. The EFL Cup.
Since yesterday?
Not since yesterday. This is the second round, so pretty impossible for this to be a tournament that started yesterday.
But two rounds in 2 days?
That's a lot
this
of work.
This is actually
load.
A cup I can get behind.
Yeah. Get them going.
Take way too long. All right, Danny Cannell is going to join us in the next segment. I want to talk some Canes Notre Dame. I want to talk about college football finally, and Danny Cannell is the man to do it because he went to FSU. Huh? All right, he's going to join us in the next segment. Don't go anywhere.
This is Hawk, Crowder, and Solana.
What about FD Florida and FD Sun?
How about FU? I love a little Hall & Oates. Now you're talking, Jimmy. I bet Danny Cannell. DK loves a little Hall & Oates as well. He wrote DK up on his little moniker there. Like he said that is his nickname, DK. So we couldn't figure it out if you had one or not. Danny Cannell is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. FSU legend, of course, and played a number of seasons in the NFL. Went to the Giants in the draft. I don't know. I've probably mentioned before he was drafted by the Brewers right out of high school, chose to go to college, and then got drafted by the Yankees out of college, but chose to play professional football. So two-sport athlete. Danny comes to us courtesy of Bet Online. Check out betonline.ag for updated college football playoff win totals and conference championships and Heisman odds and college football week one lines. We have been NFL intensive on today's show, cut down day, and just NFL intensive. So I want to talk a little college football here with Danny, and I'll start with Miami and Notre Dame. So does Miami upset them Sunday night at Hard Rock? How do they do it if they do?
First of all, I want to say I'm just glad that we're on Zoom this time. This is the first time we've actually been on camera, and I like to be able to look you guys in the eyes when you insult my alma mater and you take all these pot shots at me, just to kind of see the reactions we get so we can feel like men and we can look each other in the eye.
Now that you say that, I remember last year you spent most of the season taking notes, right? Weren't you taking a lot of notes?
I did. And I got a lot of receipts
that
I got in my
there,
back pocket.
You have a trunk full of notes.
I got a tow truck in the back. Where I had to haul them all in there.
I got a
lot of receipts
from last season.
I got a lot of receipts that I'm going to be pulling. Hopefully I can pull them out this year. It might take a year. I don't know. We'll have to see. But I'm going to save them. I'm petty as it gets, and I will remember every one of you guys who called out my Florida State Seminoles for that one. But back to your question at hand about the Hurricanes pulling off this upset. So I think that the way they pull the upset is, first of all, I think it's pretty simple on the defensive side of the ball, and I'm excited to see what Corey Heatherton has planned, the new defensive coordinator, because Jeremiah Love, the running back for Notre Dame, is probably, if he's not the best running back in college football, there aren't many guys that are going to challenge him for that title. He is a dynamic runner of the football for what the Fighting Irish want to do, and they're going to want to lean on him because they're starting a guy in CJ Carr who hasn't played at all for Notre Dame. And so they've got an inexperienced quarterback playing on the road. Notre Dame's going to want to neutralize the crowd, make the game kind of boring, establish a line of scrimmage. And can Miami, with the revamped defense, can they pressure him, fluster him, shut down that run? That, to me, is the pretty simplest form of the game plan where you don't have to rely too much on the offense as it kind of finds its legs. Because I do think Notre Dame's defense is one of the better defenses in the country as well. It's Marcus Freeman, a defensive-minded coach. He's always had it. It's been something they've been able to ride Last year, they rode it all the way to the championship game. They had a more dynamic quarterback in Riley Leonard who was able to scramble around and make some plays. But defense is going to be pretty physical, and that'll be a big challenge for Miami's offensive line, which is supposed to be their strength. But I do think the best way for them to win the game is to have a defensive standout type of performance that hopefully they get much better play than they did last season.
And Danny, gambling-wise and gameplay-wise, we can talk about it both with this one. I think it's going to be low scoring. Notre Dame, top five defense, top 10 in scoring in total. And then last year, Minnesota with Heatherman, they were a top 10 defense in scoring in total. So I'm looking at a 17-13 game. Hawk wants a 47-49 game.
Over under 49.5. They didn't make it out of nothing.
It's 49.5. I don't think they get to 49.5.
It's still, there's actually been money coming on the under too, because it was at 50.5, you know, not that long ago. And I think smart football minds like me and you, Crowder, we understand what type of game is going to unfold. I think it will be uglier and lower scoring. You've got Carson Beck with who knows who he's throwing to at wide receiver with the amount of production they lost. I think Mario wants to establish the line of scrimmage too, wants to create that run game. And I do think Notre Dame is going to struggle to put up points. So I'm with you, Channing. I do think my favorite play in the game is under the total of that 49.5. So I think it's going to be a lower scoring game. That I like better. Like if you're going to bet the Canes, I think it's probably best just to take the money line and just say, you know what? They win the game outright, which wouldn't surprise me. But my favorite play in the game is the under, because I do think it's going to be a lower scoring game where, and we saw that a little bit in week zero, especially the game in Ireland. The first half was really ugly. Nobody tackles anymore in practice. Nobody goes live. So teams are trying to figure out what they're doing offensively. They're kind of not on the same page. You see a lot of drop balls, missed completions. I think it could be an uglier game early, and then they find to figure things out late. But I think overall, it's going to be more of a defensive slugfest.
You mentioned Cam Ward. You mentioned Carson Beck. Can he replicate what Cam Ward did? I'm not saying he's going to be the number one overall draft pick, but Crowder, even the last year, he was kind of down on Cam Ward, to be fair, and that didn't necessarily work out great for him. But Crowder just feels like Carson Beck isn't that dude. And I think for the most part, we have high hopes for him down here. I know we have to figure out who exactly his weapons are going to be, and we'll probably find out week one, two, and then with that Florida game. But can Carson Beck replicate what he did two seasons ago against ACC defenses mostly?
That's the biggest question mark for this team, you know, because Carson Beck a year ago now was a favorite to win the Heisman Trophy. He was projected to be a top five pick, and then he goes out and struggles this season, gets hurt, and then kind of rewrite history. And now we are where we are with Carson Beck for the Miami Hurricanes. My big concern, so it's going to look completely different, right? He's a completely different style of quarterback than Cam Ward was. Cam, you know, a little bit more shoots from the hip. He can play from within the pocket, but he had, like, think of his signature plays when he's rolling around and he's making plays outside the pocket and he's buying time and he sits back there in the pocket and just waits and waits and waits. Carson Beck will be more on rhythm within the system, and he can run too. He is pretty mobile. My thing is kind of what I think Channing feels as well. Cam Ward was a guy that led that locker room. Like the players wanted to play for him. He had this infectious confidence that I think permeated that locker room. Was the offense became so unstoppable. It didn't matter if he threw a crazy interception across his body for a pick six. They still looked at him in that belief. He can bring us back. He's a dog. Like, we can follow this guy. The thing that concerned me about Carson Beck, there's two things. One, Georgia let him walk out the door. Like, Georgia can spend with anybody. So if they really wanted Carson Beck, they could have afforded to keep him back. The second thing was the reaction from the locker room, from his own teammates. When he went down, there was almost like this excitement of having Gunnar Stockton, of having somebody different under center. And some of the players' comments in that playoff game were like, we're going to be better off without Carson Beck. And I don't think it meant from a talent perspective. They meant from a leadership perspective. Like Gunnar Stockton, those players played with more enthusiasm and more excitement than they did with Carson Beck. For whatever reason, he didn't resonate as a true leader in that locker room. And I've even talked to some Georgia people who said he wasn't really missed at all. Like, they weren't upset that he left for any reason. And then he's made some mistakes off the field. I think life is a series of IQ, IQ questions, like an IQ test. And he's failed some of those and some of the decisions he made off the field, relationship-wise, getting busted on Snapchat, some stuff that's not very smart. Like, we've all figured out ways to not get caught. And when you do in such a public way, it kind of is an IQ test for me. And so I worry about some of the decisions he made off the field. He is talented. And then all of this, we haven't even talked about him coming back from major elbow surgery. So there's a lot of question marks, but he's still got the talent. And you know, I was talking to Joe Z a couple weeks ago. He was telling me that he's firing lasers out there at practice, which doesn't surprise me. But I will remind you, when he was lighting up defenses in the SEC, he did have Brock Bowers and he had Ladd McConkey, two guys that are crushing it now in the NFL. Ladd McConkey, much more so than anybody thought. Brock Bowers, we all knew was going to be good, but he had some weapons to work with when he was at Georgia. Somebody's got to emerge in that position for the Canes.
I'm taking notes this time.
Yeah, take them. Write them down.
Everything that Danny Cannell just said about Carson.
I hope you took the under. I hope you took the under so you can make some money.
Taking that Heisman Trophy and looking around. I'm going to have a whole page of notes from Danny Cannell here.
We're going to find out in the first month of the season. You know, I got a ton of heat from some Hurricanes fans. I was asked on my podcast, they were like, give bold predictions. When I hear that, I'm like, all right, I start salivating because I'll go bold. Like, I don't care. Like, it's a bold prediction, which I don't think it's going to happen. But my bold prediction was that Miami was going to miss a bowl game this year. And like, so I had to unfold like how it happens.
I mean, what are we
they're doing, not man? That dissimilar to what Florida here? State was last year. Massive expectations. They had all this transfer portal action. The thing that I've realized in the portal world that we live in, when you live in the portal and you ask those guys to do a lot, if you're a front runner, it can work great. But the minute things start to go south, which could be a loss to Notre Dame and potentially a loss to Florida before you have to play Florida State on the road, if they start off slow, you could see a team throw in the towel, much like you saw in Tallahassee. I'm not saying it does happen.
This is my fault.
There is a recipe. There is a recipe.
I know who Danny is. I booked him for Canes Notre Dame week. This one's on me. I take all the heat on this. This was not the right forum for Danny Cannell this week. I made a mistake because I was excited this week. There's great college football in the state of Florida with Canes opening against Notre Dame. Your Seminoles open against Alabama.
Yeah.
And Crowder, you've got Long Island University.
Watch out for those sharks. Everybody talks about Florida.
How's Florida going to get past Long Island University?
1-0, baby. 1-0, baby. That's what we do.
Good God. Danny Cannell's with us, by the way, courtesy of Bet Online. That's a big opening weekend for the Canes and FSU. Do you like that when, you know, Canes, like you say, you could start building a narrative after week one, whether it's fair or not. Notre Dame's a better team. They're higher ranked. Alabama's higher ranked than FSU. Like those are tough games, marquee games, but tough to start a season.
I love it from a fan perspective. I don't think coaches love it. I think everybody would love to start off with a Long Island like the Gators have. Because really, I mean, think about it. I just mentioned how nobody hits in training camp anymore. They shouldn't even call it training camp. They should call it sleepaway camp. Like it's like they go and they have fun. It's a lot of walkthroughs, a lot of like air, like they don't even tackle live anymore. So there's essentially no preseason. So you've got a built-in preseason game for the Gators, which is great. And I would probably prefer that. The good news about it is you do have a massive opportunity. And if you lose, if it's not ugly, now Florida State kind of makes me nervous. If they lose ugly to Alabama, they're a 2-touchdown underdog. You talk about like panic sets in, you lose the fan base, that could happen. But let's say Miami loses close to the point spread. They lose by a field goal. I don't think there's any shame in that. Losing to a team that played for the national title last year, it doesn't kill your resume. You can still accomplish all your goals. And if you win that game, so here's what I'll tell you about Miami that's a good thing. This Miami team kind of reminds me of the Florida State team from 2 years ago. They faced LSU in the first game of the season. It was a huge test, and they won that game. And then they went through and ran the table in the regular season and won it. I do think if Miami beats Notre Dame, they could be that team that has 10 or 11 wins, gets to the ACC championship, reaches all their goals, and kind of carries that huge win through the season because – I think that sort of signature wing brings a ton of confidence to the players, the coaching staff, and the fan base. So I think that game could be a huge momentum builder for the Canes.
Hey, Hawk, you say Alabama's ranked higher than Florida State. I think Long Island might be ranked higher than Florida State.
Now we're just throwing haymakers. Let me write that down.
In the ACC. Clemson is in everybody's top five. Are they legit? Klubnik and all, like I'm hearing all this stuff. I'm surprised every time I see a different poll and they got Clemson in the top five.
I'm buying in. I love Dabo Swinney. They've been a perennial contender. Even last year, like when they were cast aside and they lose to South Carolina, they find out a way to come back and win the ACC. And they actually put up a really good fight against Texas in that game. Like they played Texas as good as anybody did, you know, throughout the season last year. They've got the pedigree. Here's my biggest question mark. And this is where, if you wanted to say they're fraudulent, the defense, the reason people are on this team is there's a lot of star power, like first round talent. We hear that all the time on the defensive side of the ball. TJ Parker is supposed to be a first round pick. They've got multiple guys on that side of the ball. They've got Cade Klubnik coming back, who on the back end of the season last year really played well. But all the same guys on that defense that were first round talent, they were there last year and they finished second to last in the ACC in rushing defense. Like, that's a cause for concern. Now, they did make a change at defensive coordinator. They bring in Tom Allen from Penn State. But is like, is scheme all they were missing, or is there some talent up front? And they were 0-3 against the SEC last season, got beat by Georgia, got beat by Texas, and then lost that game against South Carolina. So it does make me a little bit concerned that they didn't play great against the best competition last year, but they've been such a consistent winner. Like, I think that people are just trusting that with the returning talent they've got, they're going to improve. Their schedule's not exactly the hardest schedule in the country. But that LSU game, we're going to learn a lot about Clemson Tigers.
Who's the cream of the crop in the ACC?
Oh, it's Clemson. I do think it's Clemson. But I do think, like, the odds makers, if they're right, it will be a Miami-Clemson matchup, which could be phenomenal. I think people are sleeping on Louisville. You know, Louisville last year went into Clemson and pushed them around. Like, they had a really impressive win. That Jeff Brohm, their coach, has kind of lived in the portal. He's done a great job with quarterbacks. They got Miller Moss. They got Isaac Brown from Miami, who is probably the best back in the ACC. They're going to run the football. They're pretty physical up front. I think people are sleeping on Louisville. And then there is a wild card up in Tallahassee. You never know what you're going to get. So I mean, I was
giving him some low-hanging fruit to see if he was going to take it, and he took it.
I'm just saying, you never know. They did flip things around a couple years ago. You never know.
Danny Cannell.
We've got our 5'9" quarterback running around back there making plays. You never know.
Yeah. Danny Cannell comes to us today courtesy of Bet Online. Check out betonline.ag. They've got all the updated college football playoff win totals and conference championship odds and Heisman odds and college football week one lines. We always enjoy talking to you, Danny. We appreciate your time. We took some notes. We'll have you back on during the season.
We'll see if our notes match up. All right, fellas. Great catching up with you. We'll see you.
There you go, Danny Cannell. There is an official list now from the Dolphins of who they release. They have sent out a press release with all their cuts. So we'll do that in the 5 o'clock Funky Buddha Happy Hour headlines, which are coming up next.
This is Hawk, Crowder, and Solana.
Everything that comes out of my mouth is generally wrong.